This is the Wayback Throwback, 80s, 90s tech. The Wayback Throwback is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Split Decision, Spanish Announce Table, and Trending Mobile Technology. We are back once again to talk some 80s, 90s tech. This is your one-stop shop for all your 90s-related nostalgia, the Wayback Throwback. I'm your host, Mr. Old School, and this week we are joined by two great guests. We've got Kev Botrek.
Howdy.
And making his podcast debut, popping his cherry on the Trending Topics Network, who I just invited about 30 seconds ago, we got Phil.
Hey, first time, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, man. Phil is ready to go. He's actually, we're talking about doing another podcast called Two Guys on a Couch.
Oh, yeah.
Might happen soon. Anyways, we're not here to talk about couches or guys. We're here to talk about 80s, 90s tech. I'm going to throw the first one out. I'm sure you guys remember this, the VCR, VHS cassettes. Now, back in the 80s, they were in battle with another similar format, Betamax. And VCR landed up winning because of pornography, apparently, from what I'm told. The porn industry fueled VCR because the quality of the cassettes were actually a bit worse than Betamax. But going to open up the discussion with Kev Botrek, VHS, VCR. Let's get your thoughts, man.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, it was like before the age of PVRs and really internet downloading. You're going to miss a show, you put it on a VCR. Like, you taped it on a... with your VCR, and I think they went up to, what, 6 hours for the longest?
Yeah, but that's like the grainy, crappy, quality.
I don't know, maybe it was just me, but I didn't notice a massive difference between, like, the standard and the, like, the extra long.
From SP to EP, yeah, there was a huge difference.
Was there? Oh, maybe I just don't remember
it. Your TV was such a piece of shit.
I had my VCR for a long time, and I think I still actually have some tapes in my closet somewhere.
I think everybody does. I think I've got, like, what's that Christmas movie there? Miracle on 34th Street, like the reboot version on cassette. I have no idea why I own that. I don't think I've ever watched it, but it's in a closet somewhere in some box with a bunch of other crap that I don't use.
But was it the first way you can tape a show on the TV? Like, I'm trying to think if there's anything before it.
No, I believe it was the first. And I know back in the day it was, like, super controversial, too, because all the media companies were like, "Ah, you're going to steal our shit and tape trading and that."
Not only that, you'd fast forward through the commercials.
Well, that too, yeah. That's the old school kind of PVRing, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, back in the day, yeah, it was kind of frowned upon. But fair use, one, you know, I think they brought the companies to court and stuff for them to not be able to sell it. And it is kind of a precursor to all this kind of digital downloading and piracy and that, where people would do that, but, you know, fair use back in the day actually won, and people had to say, well, you know, I do have the right to, if it's over the air, I do have a right to capture it and obviously not sell it, but for personal use, it shouldn't be a problem. I mean, just looking at memories now, rewinding the tape after, you know, renting something from Blockbuster was just so stupid. If you think about it now, just, you know, you just download a movie or whatever and you're playing it. You don't have to rewind the freaking thing and bring it back.
Yeah, before you had to leave the house, go like down the street to the local video store, talk to the dude, like ask him if the video was available and blah, blah, blah. Then bring it back home, watch it, rewind, and then make sure that the next day before like 6 or 7 o'clock, you made sure to bring it back to the video store. That was a pain. But
you know what? That's a good segue. We could talk about video rental places, Blockbuster especially, and I believe they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy not too long ago. Yep. And you know they're going out, they're going out just like all the other ones are going out, except for some remote areas where I think they still kind of thrive because of bad broadband internet. So you know if you're up in the Hick Town there and you know, you've got dial-up, you're not really going to be streaming stuff off Netflix. So I think in that case, there's still a niche requirement. But this big, you know, these big conglomerates of renting movies and then charging you all these ridiculous late fees. And I know I think Blockbuster actually got, there was a class action lawsuit against all this. Because from what I heard, there's about 30% of the revenues was just collecting late fees.
Yeah, didn't they abandon that, though, the last maybe like 2 years they were still in business?
I think they had to just because of the backlash. And I know, I think they had to settle that lawsuit as well. So actually at this point, I don't know if they've ever paid it because they're bankrupt now. But I remember one memory that stands out is going to the video store and then praying there's no late fees on my account so I can actually rent the movie.
Yeah, because you'd share an account. So even if you didn't screw up, maybe like, oh, your dad forgot to return the video and you couldn't rent your like Batman that came out that week or something.
Yeah, because you got like $8 on you and there's 16 yeah. bucks in late fees and like you're fucked. That's it. Unless you got a cool guy who's like kind of lets you go with it. But I remember this is about, oh my God, 15, 20 years ago. My brother's stepbrothers rented Major Pain and never returned it.
Because that's a key.
And at that point, yeah, we got to the point where it was like 2 years later. And the company calls and like they just say like, you win. We'll drop the late fees. Just bring the movie back.
Someone wants to rent Major Pain. Just bring it back.
Please just bring it back. We'll forget everything ever happened. I don't think he ever brought it back, though. I think he still has it.
Wow.
Any other thoughts on DVD and VHS rental?
Rental? Not rental, but I remember VHS gave us the technology to create home movies because my dad had the... you know the recorder that he has in Back to the Future that Marty carries all along?
Jeez, yeah, yeah.
We had one of those, and holy hell did we make a lot of home movies. He would just plop the camera on the tripod and record.
Is that 8mm?
No, it was actually VHS. It was a smaller VHS tape that you put into an adapter, and then you can actually put into a VCR. So every like family gathering, he would plop that like recorder, like the camcorder, on a tripod and record the entire evening. And then rewatch it. It would be like 6 hours of nothing. Just us eating.
Just boring shit.
Oh, yeah.
You have like hours and hours of watching yourself eating.
Yeah. But that's the stuff that we never got to like digitize and put on DVD. But I should go back there and then actually do it someday. Because
I think there is a need for, you know, you can put that up on Netflix. Just Phil eating fucking steak.
No, but it's like, chicken. It's like, oh, it's old family stuff. It's like, oh, back then it's like, whatever. It's like 2 weeks ago. But now it's like, oh, holy crap. It's been 30 years. It's like, we look completely different. And some of the people in those videos are no longer with us.
Yeah, so you got kind of that time capsule of, you know, nostalgia when you go back in the day, remember some lost loved ones. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you haven't digitized them yet.
No, exactly. It's a good thing I came onto this podcast. I was like, oh, that's something I should do.
Yeah, because tapes do have a finite lifespan.
Yeah, that was a problem because you could record over a VHS, but after a while it just became complete like gibberish.
Did you guys hear about that thing on YouTube where the guy left the tape for himself like 30 years later and had a conversation with himself? I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, he left it in a time capsule, like buried it or something?
No, he had a VHS tape that says like, put it on in
like
30 years.
Like to me in 30 years?
Yes.
Wow.
And then he cut it on YouTube. Yeah, I'll probably find it and throw it in the show notes. He cut it on YouTube so he was having a conversation with himself. It was pretty funny. Saying about like, how's the dog doing? And the guy's like, it's 30 years later. Like, for sure the dog's dead.
It's been two dogs since.
He's just like saying how much of an idiot he was when he was a kid. Wow. So it's kind of funny. But yeah, that's awesome. All right. So keep it on the cassette route, talking about audio cassettes. And, you know, I was a little bit too old for LPs, but too young for compact discs. So the first piece of music I bought was a Michael Jackson cassette. How about you guys? What was the first music you guys bought?
Mine was MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit. Oh, yeah.
I believe
that's awesome.
I believe for me it was also MC Hammer, but wait, was there an album? Yeah, I don't remember what it was called.
You Can't Touch Me? Or what
Can't
was
Touch
it?
This?
Can't Touch This? But the album, I think, had a different title.
I don't remember what, but that was my first one.
You bought the single?
No, I bought the album, I believe.
Okay. I remember like the Michael Jackson cassette was like $18 too back in the day too. Just now you buy a song for like 99 cents, you can just steal the album. Not that we recommend you do that, but and that's a big thing, a big issue, but that's for another day. Yeah, audio cassettes, man. And talking about the rewinding too, found that so annoying. And you know, just the wear and tear of rewinding and fast forwarding the cassette, you'd like kill the cassette eventually. Also too, if you guys remember, sometimes the film, like the tape would come out, you'd have to like the, but a pen would be like the perfect thing to.
Oh, when the track would become loose or something.
Yeah. It would come out and then you'd have to like
put it back in
by rolling
a pen. That was sexy.
I always see like people on Facebook, like post that, like they'll post a picture like of a pencil form? And a pencil.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, if you know what this is, you had an awesome childhood. I'm like, wait a minute.
It's like, no.
No, it's a so shit childhood. It's so inefficient.
You know? And that's everybody, though. Yeah, when I was younger, this was the best. And every, yeah, you know, you guys had it so easy. And but it's every generation's like that. So
yeah, pretty much.
Also, talking about piracy, you know, a lot of people would make their own mixtapes. They wait for the song to come on the radio and record it off the radio. And then, like, they'd have, like, this mixtape of all their favorite songs. And I remember doing that as well. So.
Did you guys have the cassette player that had two slots so you can tape from one to the other?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had it.
Like, perfect way to do piracy back then.
It was made for that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, it was like, don't pirate stuff, kids. But it's like, here's a cassette deck with two players.
Back in the day, I thought it was such a genius because on tapes that you'd buy or whatever, even if you weren't using them, there'd be this little like hole so that if you try, you couldn't record.
Oh,
over
the copy
it.
Protection hole, yeah.
Yeah, so all you'd have to do, and I in my head, like I thought I was this big hacker. If you put a piece of tape over that copy protection hole, you can record over the tape so you could use it as a blank. And I remember when I first figured that out, I'm like, oh, I'm Doogie Howser, man. I'm a genius. Do you guys ever figure that out? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, because sometimes you would like, oh, this tape I really want to keep. So you'd break the copy protection. But after a few like weeks, you're like, oh, I'm really tired of this mixtape. I'm going to record over it. So, yeah, so of course you taped over the that slot and then just tape over your old mixtape.
All right. Keeping on the music theme, anybody have a Sony Discman? Anybody still have one?
Oh, God.
I had an old pure black just Sony Discman, yeah.
Like it would seem to me that every time I'd like move the thing, it would skip.
Yeah, because I had it. I think I had it as a gift for buying a. We'll get to this later, I guess. But a really old PC that I bought at Radio Shack, yeah. and they gifted it to us. So yeah, I had a old Sony Discman that would as you said, it would skip and it would crap out easily.
It's just the most annoying form. Like compact disc was not meant. You're running a marathon with a CD player in the back.
No, but Panasonic later came out with the Shockwave, and those things were they were a solid beast. They would.
Well, I guess they probably have like a memory of 30 seconds or something. Yeah. So if you'd be like, you're shaking it, you know. I mean, if you keep doing it, at a certain point, it will skip. But you know, I guess it helps with the little the jolts or whatever. If you walk off hit a pothole and you're like shaking a bit or whatever, so. Discman, yeah, it's compact. Even compact discs, you know, they're kind of early, late 90s, and they're going away. It seems like the old school people still buy them, but once they die off, pretty much MP3 will be the standard.
I remember, like, the switch from cassettes to compact discs. Just the fact that you didn't have to flip the cassette over.
Rewind it.
No, flip it over from side A to side B for one album. That was it. Like, you could let an entire album play for an hour, and for us, that was mind-blowing.
For me, it was the rewinding I couldn't stand. So you could just skip to whatever track you want. You wouldn't have to fast-forward it for like an hour, and then hopefully you hit the right song.
Yeah, also a cassette, I think it was 60 minutes or 90 minutes, but you wouldn't have like exactly 90 minutes of music. So at some point, there would be like dead time where you had to fast-forward or rewind to get back to where you wanted to be.
Yeah, no, definitely. You'd have that little gap. Thank God that shit is gone, man.
Thank God for digital.
Yeah, lossless. I mean, for the audio files, you got lossless FLAC and Wave is good, you know. But for people, just normal people, MP3 usually. And, you know, the enthusiasts absolutely hate MP3 because of, you know, the compression and quality. Yeah, but for most people don't. You know, they won't even notice. Tamagotchi. Anybody know anybody who had that? Virtual pet.
I know. It's kind of a...
You'd have to... And it would die if you didn't, like, feed it whatever Tamagotchi food or whatever it had.
You know?
Like, it'd crap out. It would die. You have to get a new one.
That was pretty harsh for, like, something that kids would use.
I mean, it's obviously they realize it's not a real pet. And I think it shows responsibility for the kids because you have to take care of it. If you don't take care of it, well, your Tamagotchi goes by.
Yeah, maybe. But if you're 5 or 6, like, wouldn't that be a little... I don't know, a little...
Isn't it a bit of a better letdown than if you forget to feed your dog and he fucking croaks?
Well, you're not going to forget to feed your dog if you're 5.
You're 5 and 6, you might. That,
what,
that
you don't have anyone, like, parents or anyone watching you?
Listen, it's your job. I don't care.
But I guess...
You want the dog, you take care of it, so... It brings up responsibility. I have no issue with it. I think it's a great idea.
You can say these are kind of like a precursor to a lot of, I guess, like phone games now, where you're getting the same experience from these little things that you got with a, like now that you get with a phone, like with a zillion games you can play like with apps and that.
Well, yeah, kind of. You got your portable thing, and actually, this is a bit later on the list, but we can discuss the Tiger handheld games.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that would be a perfect.
That'd be more of kind of like the phone games. It was the first kind of portable gaming, you know, but I think this is before Game Boy or maybe even during that Game Boy run, but, you know, $10, $15, $20 games where it was very, very basic. It's kind of just like mashups and... it's hard to explain, but essentially it was just the game that did that one purpose.
Yeah, pretty much.
It had a kind of a controller built in the thing. And it's just very choppy, kind of looked like watch graphics, you know, like a clock. When a clock changes, that's how the graphics would be. And for the most part, it was okay. But, you know, if you look at it now, you're like, how the fuck did I play this shit? But, you know,
it was fantastic. For, like, Tamagotchi and Gigapet and all that, like, didn't they have a very, very short lifetime, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, it was a fad,
like,
for sure.
I guess it's like Furby and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, from memory, I think it lasted maybe a year. Because one school year was cool, and then the next one, you came back from like summer vacation, and it was gone. No one had a Tamagotchi anymore. I think they all died or something.
I guess there's only so much you can do with it. Like,
that's it.
And like, it's not like now where if you play like something like that, like you're getting like some pretty good graphics, very visual stuff. Here you're on this little piece of technology.
It looked like a small egg or something, and it had four buttons.
Yeah.
So essentially, you could feed it, play with it, and something else, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, and that's...
But it was a chore. That's why people got sick of it. I mean, like, I get no benefit from this. I'm spending time feeding this virtual thing, and I get nothing out of it.
It can't even fight other Tamagotchis.
Yeah, you're not getting, like, points, or you're not getting, like, credits to do... Like, you literally... The only reason you're doing it is so it doesn't die, but if it dies, you just rehash it in 2 seconds. There's, like, no benefit to wasting all that time, really. That's why I think people got sick of it. All right, talking about getting the gaming here, and I know our previous podcast was on the NES, so we're not going to go too in-depth, but, you know, late 80s, we had the Nintendo Entertainment System. After that, Sega Genesis Kebo Trek, the 3-button controller, great sports games, really opened up the console market.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we discussed this on the last podcast, but I guess it's really that, like, that to me, like, that war between Sega and Nintendo with the SNES and the Genesis really kind of, I think it elevated the whole industry, because you had to kind of, like, go one step further, where they, like, you know, Sega had the better sports games, like you said. Nintendo had their big franchises, something I don't think Sega was ever gonna match. But I think, you know, just the two of them going against each other really elevated the business as a whole. And I guess it's like this with a lot of things, but at the time, like, you know, the graphics were fantastic. It's like, oh my god, these graphics are so good,
especially for the sports games, Kev.
Oh yeah, they were like, they were fun. Like, even when we played, like, I guess it's maybe going a little further back, but like when we played ice hockey like 2 or 3 years ago, it was so simple, yet we were having a blast with it. And I guess the other thing I should mention, and we probably mentioned that as well, is just the difficulty of the games back then.
Oh, they're fucking impossible.
They didn't care. Like, they didn't play test or anything. Just like, yeah, here's the game. Have fun, kids.
It's not like an auto save every 30 seconds.
No, and there's no, like 45-minute tutorial saying, like, press A to jump, press Y to duck under, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and Scruff was mentioning on the previous show, too, like, the rage fits some kids would get into, especially with Ninja Gaiden or something. You die once, you go right back to the beginning. You're like, fuck, this console's going out the window, see ya.
No, but as a kid, you'd have time and the patience to actually, like, all right, I made it further. Let's see what's happening. And then you start memorizing the patterns. And that's how you spend the entire summer.
But it seems like people are so ADD now because they have so much choice of stuff to do that they wouldn't have the patience to play games like that.
You have so many things to do, you don't want any frustration in your life. It's like, oh, screw this game. I'm going to open Netflix now.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, you guys think?
the whole ADD-ness of this?
Well, just like the fact that there's so much choice that something like this, instead of, you know, saying, okay, well, I'm going to take my time, figure it out, and master it, be like, ah, fuck this, I'm just going to play another game, or I'm going to watch a movie, or I'm going to listen to music or play online gaming, or just because there's so much choice, people will have that short attention span. They won't actually take the time to play the game.
I don't know. It's that's a tough one.
Yeah. Because in the long term, I guess it'll be a bad thing, because you look at all the artists that come out now, and they're like, oh, he spent X amount of hours like playing the guitar, or X amount of hours perfecting this thing. That's going to become less and less common, because people won't have the patience or the time or whatever to focus on one thing, because they have so many choices. But right now, it's fostering competition. It's good for consumers, because right now, look at TV and look at maybe video games and stuff like that. There's never been so much variety and so much emphasis on quality on stuff. Like right now, TV's in the golden age, because they know that, well, there's competition. The Walking Dead is on TV. Breaking Bad just ended. Like, we have to compete against that, and we have to deliver something that's really good.
No, agreed. And definitely, you know, the gaming industry's upped its game. It's multi-million dollar, probably billion at this point. And I think it's surpassed even the film industry. So as the gaming culture's gotten older, the gamers have gotten older. Mm-hmm. And now the average gamer is around 40 years old. So it's really, you know, they have to develop mature titles and stuff that'll bring you, you know, you're not going to play these.
And not just like big AAA titles. Look at stuff like on the side, like Candy Crush Saga and those other portable games. Like, you have
casual gaming.
Casual gaming. You have a big variety of games that you can pick from. Like, oh, I don't feel like playing a Titanfall today. I'm going to just pick up my phone and play 2048 just for 5 minutes. It's like, you have the choice now. It's available for you.
Great reference on 2048, by the way.
Have you played that?
Oh, yeah.
And just for people who, you know, aren't going to get into the FPSs and the sports games.
Yeah.
You mentioned Candy Crush. You know, I see people on Facebook. You never consider them a gamer, but, oh, Candy Crush, I'm hooked on and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but
blah,
they're going to say, oh, I'm not a gamer, but sorry, you are. You're in the culture now.
Speaking of games and content, you had mentioned Netflix not too long ago. I had an issue one night where I was just sitting there, and there were so many friggin' titles that I wasted at least 25, 30 minutes.
Oh, that's every night
picking
for me.
A film.
Yeah, that's every night.
I think a lot of people have that thing where they can't decide, and I think it's because back in the day we were spoon-fed content. You know, you when you're looking for a movie to watch, you'd go on the movie network, and a lot of people still do this, where you've got three or four movie channels, and you go on, and whatever's on, you just watch. You know, and I've been guilty of watching movies 3-4 times in a month, the same movie, because it's on, you just kind of watch it. Whereas when you have the opportunity to select whatever you want, because we've been spoon-fed, Kev, so much, we have trouble deciding what we want.
Yeah, I don't really agree with that. We've kind of had this discussion a million times, though.
I'm not saying it's bad or good, because that was the discussion. I'm just saying it is a byproduct of being spoon-fed, in my opinion.
I just think it's a byproduct of being indecisive.
Phil, do you agree?
A little bit from column A and a little bit from column B. But it is true, because I guess being spoon-fed means that when you actually sit down and it's like, what am I in the mood for tonight? It takes a while to figure it out, right? It's like, am I for... Oh, this comedy looks good, but am I really in the mood for a comedy? I don't know. Oh, there's a new action movie, but let's see what else is available. And it takes a while, then you realize, like, okay, well, then I wasted this much time, so I'm going to settle for this 30-minute cartoon, and that'll be it for tonight.
Whereas if you go on the movie network and you saw, like, I don't know, Big Lebowski on, you're like, whatever,
yeah,
just
leave it on. Like if Family Guy's on, you just leave it on. It doesn't matter. But when is the moment that you actually need to watch a Family Guy episode?
It's true. I'm convinced that it's the fault of 80s tech that I am indecisive. I blame the tech 100%, and I don't blame anything on myself. All right, let's get into computers. And, you know, I got into computers around the mid-90s, probably a bit earlier. And this is pre-internet, so we're talking bulletin boards and stuff like that. And specifically, CompuServe and AOL. Now, Kebo Trek, I know you were on, I brought you in the bulletin boards and that before the internet, where you'd call in and you'd get like download credits to download content. A lot of people, you know, said, well, porn was kind of the feedback. I wasn't really into that. Well, I guess everybody was at that age, but that wasn't my motivator. It was just like to connect with people, and you could post messages, and it was a very, very archaic version, I guess, of email and message forums and stuff like that. But you'd essentially, one guy would host the server, and you'd dial up, and you'd connect, and you'd play games on it and stuff like that. And if a guy was on the second line, or the guy who was running it was on the line, you could kind of chat with him as well in live. But most of it was kind of messages you'd leave, and you'd come back. So I guess open the board to you guys, bulletin boards. Who wants to start?
I was too young to be a bulletin board, like, period.
Okay.
I jumped in later with AOL. So I don't know about you, Kev Wiltrek.
Yeah, like old school mentioned, he got me into bulletin boards and stuff like that. And if I remember, when I first got the internet, we only had the one line. So yeah. If I went on a bulletin board, like, nobody can call a house. Or
like when somebody pick up the phone.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you're like,
yes. You're like, fuck, no. I was downloading this for 7 hours. What the fuck?
But at the time, it was like those little games were so much fun because it was really your first experience playing a game with someone that you're not sitting next to.
So it's like, true, definitely precursor to online multiplayer.
Yeah, like, I mean, even if it's not necessarily like a real-time thing, it was something where, oh, wow, I'm playing, you know, with someone that can be sitting anywhere. And, you know, we played Risk, I think. We played a game called Lord. I don't know if any of our listeners will remember.
The Red Dragon?
Yeah, yeah.
It would piss me off, and you figured it out.
Yeah, eventually.
Figured it out where apparently somebody had like a cheat to it, and we were always wondering why we'd log in. We get fucking our asses kicked all the time, like defaced, and like I forget, we'd lose all our money, get killed, and fucking defaced.
Yeah, they'd change our weapon names and stuff like
that. Yeah, and we're like, what the fuck? How are they so advanced? But they just put in their cheat code, then Kebo Trek figured it out. Posted it, and then everything got all pissed
everyone
off.
Stopped playing the game.
Yeah, well, it's not fair. I mean, you know, people legitimately playing, and then you just get fucking destroyed all the time. You know, what's the fun in that?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Phil, you were talking about AOL. I remember AOL as well.
Yeah, I remember the amount of diskettes and eventually CDs they would send in the mail.
Oh, yeah, they were just, like, pumping them out.
Yeah, because the first 2 years I was on the internet, I didn't pay a single penny. Because of those
free trials.
Because you cancel and then you just register with a new one.
Yeah, you could definitely do it. And that's back in the day where you use dial-up to connect to the server there. It wasn't internet. It would just be AOL-hosted content. But you could download games and stuff like that. But it wound up costing you, you know, $4 in time because you're getting billed like 10 cents a minute like you're on a cell phone or something. Oh,
yeah.
So
it was precious and expensive back then.
But yeah, it was definitely a niche thing. But if you had the ability to do it and you had the cash, it was a lot of fun because it was really new technology.
Yeah, it was eye opening because what else did you do with a computer back then? It was word processing,
spreadsheets.
And like, if you got a CD drive, then you'd play maybe a few games and then opened up the encyclopedia and browsed that. And that was pretty much it. That was like pretty much, even now, if you unplug your computer, that's pretty much what you can do with a computer. Now with the internet, it just opened up to all these like avenues where you can play games and like browse websites. I remember browsing like IMDb way back in the days.
Yeah. And it just definitely opened a whole new world. And like you said, yeah, computers, you know, back in the day, they were pretty shit. They didn't do much, you know. It was more just to play games.
You could email people. You could chat with them. You'd find friends on IRC and stuff.
Chatting on IRC, absolutely. And I guess there are some other things that go on IRC, but we will not discuss.
Yeah, we'll not talk about what happens. What happens on IRC stays on IRC.
Absolutely, absolutely. Microsoft Web TV, I've never had one of these, but it was definitely very, very early precursor to digital media boxes and plugging your PC into the TV. This is, you know, having that web experience on a TV itself. Very, very basic. You know, we're talking about dial-up modems and kind of email, and that's basic web browsing, but way too before its time, in my opinion.
Yeah, because browsing the internet on a standard definition TV is not the best experience.
No. I mean, even today, browsing the web on a TV, just it's not there. And in my opinion, it's got to be into like an app ecosystem where Apple
has. Yeah, you just have to.
TV or,
yeah, it's a question of presentation. The way websites are formatted are not meant to be displayed on a TV and being viewed from far away. Even interacting with them is not made for that.
Yeah, and I got a Roku last year and just absolutely love it. You know, for the TV, it's still where they haven't gotten the point where they've merged the two completely. The TV living room area is still meant for entertainment, video gaming, music listening, watching videos, that kind of stuff. But for the work stuff, it's really on a desktop computer or a laptop or now tablets even too. But yeah, they really haven't gotten that full functionality of the computer in the living room. But very, very soon, I'm sure that'll happen. Okay, what else we got?
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah,
go for it.
What was the first computer you guys got? Because I still remember mine. It was a Pentium 175 with 1.19 gigs of storage.
I had a 486. This is before Pentium.
Yeah, that was before Pentium.
And that was like from, and this is my stepdad's PC. And it was a 286 upgraded to a 486. See, yeah, and I remember when he first, it was a slow upgrade. You know, I remember when he first got his CD-ROM drive and we're like, what? We play like Sherlock Holmes on the, and all these like adventure games, Loom, Monkey Island, all those kind of, and that's why I got hooked on adventure games. I'll still kind of play some of the old ones and even new ones. Huge fan, just because that was like the Lucas games, LucasArts.
Oh, you those, know, those are classics. And,
yeah.
And those will always have a special place in my heart.
Yeah, just absolute fan of all of that. And we were, with the CD-ROM, you got a lot more gaming. You could listen to the compact discs on the computer, which is kind of cool. I remember when I first got my first modem too, that we first had 2400 baud. And you'd see like line by line when it came, and we got 14.4 baud. I'm like, oh fuck, man. You know, the page came down like right away, and that was the shit. That was my first computer, 46. Phil, what was your first?
I had a, like I said, bought from Radio Shack. That's how old it is.
Radio Shack.
A IBM Aptiva. It was a 486. I think it was, the speed was 33, and it had 256 megs of RAM. But it had a CD-ROM drive, and that was a huge plus because, yeah, like you said, you could play all those CD-ROM adventure games and Myst and all those, what we call classics now.
Did you guys ever have a turbo button that you'd press and do fucking nothing?
At school, we had one because it would go from 16 to 33.
Yeah, but it literally, there was no difference. It was just there for...
Yeah, well, not for the programs of the day, but there were some programs that were mapped to the clock speed of the computer. So if you pressed on the turbo, the game or the program would run twice as fast, and you wouldn't want that. So you press the turbo button to slow it back down to its normal speed.
Yeah, I don't know. Just my experience, it never did anything.
No, it was just a cool button because it said turbo.
I remember when I upgraded my computer from like 1.19 gigs to 4, I was like, oh my God, I have so much space now. And, you know, today that's what, like one,
nothing.
It's like a high definition movie. If
it's a
1080 movie.
If you go to a trade show, someone would hand you a USB key with that much like power, yeah. Pretty much.
It was like back then, it's like, you know, things like Command and Conquer probably running on what, like 100 megabytes of space or something.
Oh, yeah. Doom took way less than that.
It's crazy. And like now, like you said, it's nothing.
When did you guys first get an MP3 player?
I never got one.
You never got one?
I've never owned an MP3 player, be it an iPad or...
Just... So you walk around with a Walkman, you're saying?
Well, you have your phone, right?
Kind of. Well, my phone doesn't have the internet, so it's... And actually, I don't download songs on it, so it's a bad example.
So this is not a throwback episode. This is an episode about the present for you.
This is a Kepo Trek Today episode.
No, but I just wanted to... I never had an iPod or a Zune or any of that kind of stuff.
Really?
I had a Diamond Rio MP3 player. That's back in the day when it played like fucking 8 songs.
I had the even cheaper one. It was a SanDisk adapter where you plugged your, like, what is it? Like, yeah, 256 meg USB key into it, and it would play the MP3 tracks off of it.
Oh, no, I was precursor to that. I had a 32 meg dime. All good. I had a 32 meg Diamond Rio MP3 player. Wow. Literally, the tracks are 3 meg. You put 8 songs on it. But for me, I was like, oh shit, it's like a CD. You keep putting songs on it, man. It was a pretty thick thing, too. But if, back in the day, like, the thing cost like $300 too. But I was like, oh man.
But there was a joy when getting MP3s back then. Because remember how you got MP3s?
You'd download them for like half an hour.
Yeah, you'd copy paste. You'd go into this weird website where it's like a green text. No, not even before that. It was just a green text over like a black background. And you'd copy paste that into your browser. And then, yeah, it would start downloading. It was off like some RSC or some BBS type of thing. It was highly illegal, but you felt cool. You felt cool finding an MP3 file.
Yeah, and this is before, the dawn of Napster.
And Kazaa.
I mean, Napster, you know, people argue is the one thing that will eventually kill the music industry. Do you guys agree?
In a way, it kind of did. Well, not killed it, but it made them realize their model just wasn't...
Well, it made them get off their ass and stop being lazy.
Well, I think, we've discussed this many times where, you know, instead of embracing what Napster kind of offered, they went the complete opposite direction. And
where back in the day, Napster wanted to make a deal with them and say, okay, well, you know, you go the almost kind of the iTunes route where you charge for tracks. Or like a monthly fee. And they said, no, fuck you. They shut it down. They started suing people. And the backlash was crazy. I mean, you know, it made the record companies, instead of helping your customers, they were actually attacking their customers. And, you know, if you look back and now, they've kind of 180'd their stance and opened up everything. And no copy protection with iTunes. But it's too little too late, you know. And back in the day when they had the ability to make that change, they decided to go against the grain and they kind of fucked themselves over.
But I guess that's the question. Do you think if, let's say if the music companies were on board with it, do you think people would have accepted Napster as kind of like a, you know, obviously a pay model rather than just people downloading it for free? Do you think there would have been that acceptance if the movie companies say, okay, we're going to do this. You can download the songs you want. You have to pay for them.
Monthly fee.
Or even if it's like what it is now, where you can download a song, but because they were kind of against it, everyone just went, okay, whatever, we're still going to download. But I think maybe if the music companies were accepting of it, you know, people would have been conditioned to start like, okay, I have to pay for a song.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's only one good song, I don't have to spend 10, 15, 20 bucks on an album. But
if you make it cheap enough, then if they were to have done like a subscription model like Netflix did, because if you look at the success with them, I mean, there was no market there to begin with, but they went the route, they partnered with companies and stuff like that. And back in the day it was DVD subscription business, but now it's pretty much all streaming. And look how successful they are. They're doing great. Their stock's almost 300, 400 bucks. So you're telling me the Napster and the music industry didn't go partners back then? I mean, Napster could be the biggest thing since sliced bread. We might not even see Apple alive right now. You know what I mean? So it's crazy to think of the potential that Napster could have had. Because like you said, it was back in a day where they could have started to condition people that, you know, you're going to pay a monthly fee or pay per track for music. And that would be okay because they were already in the mindset that I'm going to drop 20 bucks on an album. Nowadays, when you precondition kids to understand that they can get songs for free, they don't see music as something they want to pay for. So I think they really messed up a great opportunity to make a bit of – to really transform the music industry. And we see now that, you know, a lot of companies are going out of business and a lot of indie artists are kind of starving. So whether it's good or bad, I guess it depends what kind of side of the coin you're on.
But I think like – although obviously in the end it turned out to be the wrong move, you can understand – like I can understand – the thinking of the music companies, because you're charging, say, $15 for a lot of people who are going to buy an album for one song. And, you know, here you go. Like, you don't want them buying, say, the one song, paying $1.50. You want them to spend that full amount buying the whole album. So, like, I can understand why they didn't want to support it. even if it was obviously the wrong move in the end.
Yeah, and yeah, I can kind of see their mindset, but you know what? It goes with business of all sorts. If you're not able to evolve with the technology that comes out, you're just going to get washed away.
Yeah, look at Blockbuster.
Yeah, exactly. Where, you know, Blockbuster back in the day, I'm sure they could have had the ability to buy Netflix outright.
I think they had a few chances to do it. I think Netflix presented the opportunity for them to get bought, but they never took it seriously.
And, you know, Blockbuster could have been the biggest name in streaming right now, yeah. But they were too short-sighted. They didn't look at the bigger picture. And, yeah, they're begging for money right now on the street. So it just goes to show you got to have that bigger picture in mind. Anything else we want to discuss before we close the show?
Yeah, I just thought of something. And
go for it.
We actually discussed this a bit yesterday. Cameras from the 90s, or just, I guess, cameras in general, because we were talking about, well, I guess Polaroids, maybe not necessarily just the 90s, but...
Yeah, that's Polaroids. Yeah, it's a great thing that... And I remember when I had my Polaroid, you drop like $16 for 8 pictures or something. But, you know, back in the day, it was like you could develop the picture just like kind of after you take the picture.
It was like,
you
magic. Magic because it turned from white into the picture that you actually took.
I mean, the quality was horrendous if you look at it, but that's what you had. It was fantastic, and you didn't have to go get your film developer. You'd wait a minute, you got your picture.
Well, it's kind of like just taking pictures back then. Were like, and not talking about a Polaroid, but just like film cameras where you take a picture and you wouldn't know what it would look like until...
Yeah.
Like, just the thought of that today is just like, wow. Like, you tell a kid today... You can't look at the picture you take. You got to wait till you go get it developed at a store.
Yeah, and listen, boy, you only have 24 pictures you can take now.
No, sometimes you're able to extend it one or two, weren't you?
Yeah, because it wouldn't be a perfect roll, so maybe get like 27 out of it.
But just like, you know, it can be blurry, your hand can be blocking it, you'd have no way to tell.
And you would save, like, is this picture worthy? No.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, now you can take like 4 of the same picture and decide which one you want. Oh, I'm slightly, you know, my eyes are closed or I'm not smiling the way I like. Oh, I'll just take another one.
Yeah.
Whereas back then.
Yeah. Now you have that instant gratification where you can, like you said, take multiple pictures, look at how it looks, share it right away, share it for the world, you know, put it on Facebook, put it on Instagram. And back then you'd have to wait a week, get it developed, and then have people come over to look at your photo.
Or not even. You'd go on vacation, you'd burn one roll, and then you burn through like half the other roll and sit then let it sit there. It's like, oh, when we go on vacation next time, then we'll see what we took last time. And then that would be like 6 months or 7 months. And then, it's true. We took these pictures back in January of last year.
Oh, I have all my pictures that I've taken over the years on my computer. I don't think I might have printed like 2 of them.
You mean digital pictures?
Yeah. Like, I think I might have printed like 2 or 3 that are around the house from like my parents. But other than that, like, everything's just online and.
Yeah. Share it.
Yeah. You put it on Facebook, you put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
But back then, you'd have to like bring people over to the house or bring the picture album to
check out the
baby. Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, neighbors, let me bore you with these vacation pictures we took page 1.
Let's close on this question. If you can go back in time, you get to keep all your memories, your thoughts. You know, you get to go back 30 years. You get to start back at, say, 5 years old. But mentally, you know, you've got all the memories of whatever.
You're a bitter old man inside of a 5-year-old's body.
Okay. But you've got to relive all that crappy technology again.
All right.
Like, you know, you got to play music on cassettes and all that.
But you know that, like, oh, MP3s are...
You're used to the technology of today.
You go into the schoolyard and be like, listen, kids, Napster's going to show up in 5 years. It's going to be awesome.
Or say, like, there's some rule where, like, you can't talk it to anybody about the future tech.
So you don't sound like a crazy person. Like, the world's going to end in 2000.
You committed, like, put this guy in an insane asylum. But so there's this rule, like, you can't mention, like, future stuff.
Right.
But you get to go back in time and be 6 years old again to relive all this crappy tech. Would you do it?
Oh, Jesus.
No. Because you don't have that feeling of discovery anymore. You've been there. You went to it once.
So you got to spend 30 years like reliving all this crappy technology.
That you know that there's going to be a better version down the line.
Yeah, so imagine like for Christmas you get an NES and you're like, what the fuck?
It's like
I gotta play this shit.
Have you seen a PS? You know? Have you seen a PS4? Like, come on.
You know, and you get some game where like you know this game is a piece of shit, and like that's all you have to do. That
you're
day.
Stuck with
like,
Battletoads for
ET,
the entire, yeah, or ET for the entire summer.
You're like, fuck, I gotta know this game sucks.
Fuck you, know? Mom. Where's Hearthstone?
Or just like having to manually download a song for 30 minutes again. Just could you do it? But you know, you get 30 years of your life back. Would you do it, Kev?
I don't think so. Just because it. The past is best kept in the past, and unless you had a really, 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 really crappy childhood, I mean, to me, no, I wouldn't want to relive all that again. And I think Phil brought up the good point where you're losing that sense of like
awe and discovery of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so when you're a kid, that's one of the most important things for you to have and discover. And if you're losing that, I think you just become kind of cynical, and like you don't want to be coming cynical at like 6 years old or like 10 years old. It's like, yeah,
I'm not gonna buy any of this stuff. I'm gonna save my money and invest in Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, what the hell is Facebook? Like, and
what is this kid doing? He's not spending a single penny.
But I mean, like, you know, obviously everyone, there's moments where you're like, I wish I could relive that. I wish I can do that over, but not to that extent. And just it's like, I think about in my line of work, if I had to do taxes manually, like I would cry. Like I couldn't do it. It's hard to just kind of de-evolve like that.
It would be torturous.
Well,
almost.
That's it. It's like I couldn't imagine just the inefficiency of everything would drive me insane.
Yeah, just booting up a computer would drive you nuts at this point.
Yeah, it's like waiting 5 minutes for a picture to download on the internet. It's like. It's just,
it'll be over.
I mean,
you'd fucking...
at the time it was cutting edge, but now like you look at it, it's so inefficient.
Because you're so used to that new technology. It just, it, for me too, it'd be impossible to go back.
You show up and you wouldn't have your iPhone on, like where the entire world's information's in the palm of your hand.
Imagine having to run to like a phone booth to make a call.
And you don't have a quarter or two.
Yeah.
Because eventually it became three.
I don't know. I couldn't do it either. But, you know, I think you're right. Yeah, unless you had, like, the worst childhood ever where you were just, like, fucking beaten or something. Like, I couldn't – even getting 30 years of my life back to have to deal – like, that's the trade-off. You know, you get to relive maybe some stuff you regret. But then you got, like Kev said, you got to manually do taxes for 20 years.
You just become – you'll become stagnant because you know there's a better alternative, but you just can't –
you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, and we're not smart enough to invent it, too.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're not going to probably, you know, we're not going to invent Facebook.
We're not going to invent MP3 players. So, yeah, we're not going to invent Napster.
And guys, sound off, like, you know, what would you guys think? Tweet me, oldmovies.net, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. Would you go back in time to get 30 years of your life back, knowing that you have the memories and you'll have to deal with the crappy technology of yesterday, taping with VHSs? Having to run to a phone booth to make a call, manually doing taxes, is this something that you could deal with? Or are you like us and there's no way you couldn't do it? You'd be too stagnant. All right. So for the debuting Phil, Kebo Trek, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.